Yeah, you want to look at it.
Why would I be interested in that? Did you see this?
Hold on for a minute. World famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. What's the problem?
Why is he giving me...
I thought you want to see it.
Chlamydia gonorrhea rates up, syphilis steady.
Yes.
Why are you giving that to her?
I don't know. Thought maybe she'd be interested.
Why would I be interested? You know something? I know you don't want to start off like this, Phil, but I'm really itching to get a high heel into the eyeball.
Hold on for a minute now. Already I've got a... My throat is just... It's not... What a weekend. Don't start off with anything crazy. It's been a crazy weekend already. Do you understand?
I just saw a story about chlamydia.
And you hand it to me as if I tacked that stuff up on my refrigerator.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's only something a lady gonna know.
Oh, is that right? Only something a lady gonna know? Syphilis is...
Yeah, but your husband...
Phil...
All right, just take it easy, will you guys? Don't be handing her stories about syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea.
So you think... What do you think I do? You think I walk down... I walk to my house with that stuff, and I stick it on a bulletin board, and I go, oh, look, here's all my syphilis news for the...
Take it easy.
No, you take it easy.
No, you take it easy.
No, you take it easy.
You take it easy.
You take... Shut up! Anyway, my throat is... I'm fine. I feel fine. I look probably okay, but for some reason I had a little bit of phlegm there in my throat. Meanwhile, you idiots have got to start things off once again. It never changes.
Well, I thought maybe I've seen that story.
Why would you want it? Why is she interested in the story about syphilis and chlamydia? And forget about whether Frank's got gonorrhea that isn't treated, and that's what gives him his gender confusion. Do me a favor. When I'm starting the show, you guys don't, in the middle of me starting the show, start passing news stories back and forth.
Well, why aren't you talking? You're looking at me while you're saying that.
Because, Margaret, what are you going to get upset for? I'm in the middle of beginning the show. Can you keep your outrage to a minimum until we get to a break?
What would you do if in the middle of the beginning of your show, Phil...
Margaret.
Hold on. I have the floor now, if you don't mind. What would you do if in the middle of the beginning of your show, I handed you a story just as you were beginning your show... I handed you a story on micropenis.
Yeah, that's probably...
Yeah?
Capiche?
I would care less. I could care less.
You could care less if I handed you a story on penile implants.
That probably... Would you be offended by that, Mr. Henry, and feel all bad about it?
No, I wouldn't. Because I can see the way you guys are smiling.
I don't think you're being honest.
I don't really care, and I'm not going to have this discussion. I got to get the show going here. Welcome, folks. Thank you for joining us here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What if in the beginning of me starting the show, you...
Spit it out, Porky.
In the beginning of the show, you hand me a story about penile implants. I don't care. What I'm trying to say to everybody here is wait until the show gets going. Wait until we get to a break. We can organize our news then. You guys are idiots. This whole thing is a cluster. You know what? Thank you. All right. Welcome to our program, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and also a couple of things to report. First off, the Milwaukee Lion game is postponed until tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Central. Apparently the field at Duckworth Memorial was soggy, it was frost, it had snow, it's all messed up, man. They didn't put a tarp on it, something, so the field had to be reconditioned. The game goes off tomorrow night at 6. It'll be on Phil TV in HD, the audio from Wang Radio. That's number one. Number two, our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, where you can get this month and this month only free CD best of downloads. If you sign up for a backstage pass, 1 month gets you one free CD best of download. Six-month subscription gets you three. And a 1 year gets you five free best of CD downloads at the Phil Hendry Show shop. Join us on Twitter, too, at twitter.com/realphilhendry and on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendryfans. Okay, what?
This is a story about chlamydia and then another one here about...
Yeah, this guy died.
Oh, this guy died, huh? This guy.
I don't know.
Well, let me tell you.
They don't know.
This was a great man. This is Daniel Inouye.
What did he do?
He was a United States Senator and a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. And Daniel Inouye passed on at the age of 88. He was at the Gothic Line in Italy. He was with the Go for Broke Division. I think he was with the famous Go for Broke Division, which was made up of Japanese-American soldiers, Nisei, as they were known.
What's that?
Nisei were first-generation American, Japanese-Americans. They were born here, but their parents were from Japan. And they were, in every sense of the word, Americans. And the military finally lifted the ban on Japanese-American soldiers enlisting. And as soon as they did, Japanese-Americans, like any other patriotic American, they wanted a part of the fight. They wanted to get into this thing, and they enlisted. The military didn't send them to the Pacific. The military instead sent them to... what, bud?
Well, they didn't send them to the Pacific because they're afraid they'd be traitors.
No, they weren't afraid they were going to be traitors, necessarily. I don't know. It was the mindset at the time.
Well, they thought they were going to... Didn't they think that our Marines would get frightened of them and shoot them?
What?
Yeah, if you see a Japanese guy.
And then afraid the Marines were going to look at another Marine who's a Japanese-American and shoot the guy?
Well, this was the 40s, Phil. People were very... It was a very strange time. You had all that boogie-woogie... I don't know.
All that boogie-woogie what?
There was a lot of frenetic thinking. There was a lot of ridiculous... Have you ever seen the films from then?
Yeah.
Well, you see how ridiculous the people were. And their approach to war was ridiculous.
Well, thank God for their approach to war, Margaret.
I'm not saying they weren't heroes.
Yeah, they're just their approach to war was ridiculous, huh?
Well, why did they have to wait to let the Japanese enlist?
Because we were fighting Japanese.
She means Japanese-Americans.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Because they were backward in some ways. In any event, I don't want to talk about this right now. I want to just pay all due homage to Daniel Inouye, who was he passed on from a respiratory complication on Monday night, this very evening, in Washington, D.C., I think. Bob Dole, who was a member of the opposite party, Robert Dole, a Republican, Daniel Inouye, a Democrat, remembered his friend Daniel Inouye as a man who consistently demonstrated his honesty and his integrity. Now, these two guys fought in the same theater of war, Italy. Both men suffered devastating wounds. In the case of Senator Dole, it's evidenced by the obvious injury and noted paralysis to the, I believe it's his left arm. And in the case of Senator Inouye...
There ain't no arm.
There ain't no...
You get...
Have some respect.
Well, there ain't no arm.
Yes, I understand. You can say something better than that.
The arm's missing.
Senator Inouye lost his arm in battle. I'm going to belt you so hard, bud, that you're going to turn into Robert.
What?
That's right. Think about it.
I don't want to think about that.
Well, then stop running your fat yap. Dole, a Republican, has said Inouye, a Democrat, was the best bridge player in the hospital. They both wound up in the same hospital when they came back from Europe. And there they were on this medical ward, on this ward in a hospital, a military hospital in Michigan. And they formed a, quote, bipartisan friendship that lasted for decades. He said that Inouye was the best bridge player in the hospital. Quoting Senator Dole again, Danny and I saw service in World War II where he lost his arm and where I had other difficulties. When we left the hospital, we eventually became United States senators, and he was always telling his friends that I talked him into it. I don't recall it, but if Danny said it was true, that was good enough for me, Dole said in a statement Monday evening. Recalling their days together in the Senate, Dole said, although the two belonged to different parties, Inouye treated everyone fairly, and never once did I recall him being critical of another colleague, Republican or Democrat. Senator Inouye was one of the Senate's giants. He believed in civility and compromise when necessary and was a good friend, quoting Robert Dole. Dole has said his own health problems, or has had his own health problems and was recently discharged from Walter Reed Army Hospital. Inouye joined the Senate in 1963, 2 years in Dole's first term. Dole retired from the body in 1996. So there is Daniel Inouye. And I have one very vivid memory of Daniel Inouye when he was on the Watergate committee, and somebody called him, quote, that little Jap.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. It was one of the people that they were interrogating or that they were questioning, and he was he wasn't a very likable guy. And he didn't like Senator Inouye's questions. And why would you if you were part of that gang that was bugging the Watergate and everything else? And he, over an open mic, I believe, was heard to say, "Who's that little Jap?" And that got everybody. Let me put it to you this way. It didn't win that guy any friends at all. All right, we're going to come back here with more on the day's news. And there's a lot of it, guys. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have our one-man show that's coming up in the spring. We have a new podcast that I announced to my Backstage Pass members before the broadcast started. And we will reference a little of what is going on because it's very exciting. Big names, big stars, big stuff. It's all coming up. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Dang, golly, buddy. Bet you're going to be sick.
Well, I ain't sick. We don't have any guest?
I'll call him up if you want.
Never mind. It's just one of those weekends where, why do you think I was going to be sick?
You eating all that Reese's Pieces.
You said that when you eat Reese's Pieces, you feel mentally unfit.
Mentally unfit? No, I just said that I get a sugar rush. What happened was, I binge on chocolate and candy if I binge on anything. I don't have any kind of a liquor problem or a,
You said liquor.
Yeah, what about it?
Ain't that like FCC?
No, that ain't FCC. LIQUOR.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know.
Yes, you do, you idiot. Ain't that the FCC? Liquor, as in booze. I should have said booze, okay?
You say beer.
Beer is not liquor.
What is it?
It's beer. Liquor is more distilled spirits and stuff like that. You know, like whiskey and gin and stuff like that. All right, so anyway, I don't have any problem like that. I don't have a drug problem. I don't have a gambling problem. I don't have any of these other... The problem I got is if I get a bag of Reese's Pieces, that's the end of me, man. I'll eat so much sugar that I get bipolar.
Well, that's just as dangerous, don't you think?
No, it's not. I'm exaggerating. So anyway, make a long story short, it was just one of those weekends of... I'm sure a lot of people were in the same boat. This past weekend was pretty stressful for a lot of people, and...
Why?
I'm not going to get into it, bud. I'm going to belt you if you open your mouth again. Like I said last week, we're not going to get into pick over a story that's already been picked over and argued about and yak, 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 blah, 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 blah. Here, you want me to say something about it? I'll say this. Little children, little kindergartners, I agree with the president. When he said we got to do something, you can't sit on your dead ass and do nothing when little tiny kids... Now, it's a whole new ballgame now, and that doesn't mean that I want to throw all the guns in the ocean. But I'll tell you this much. If we've got little kids that are getting murdered by the, you know, 20 score and more, if you've got children, and I'm a guy on this show, I'm in as clear as hell about right to bear arms. I've been a huge supporter. Not a problem. And I study the issue. And not only that, I'm not so stupid like a lot of pro-gun people that I don't know what Obama's position is, okay? I'm telling you, a word to the wise, the NRA, one of the problems that you guys have got is that you've got too many stupid idiots speaking on your behalf. If you articulated your position more clearly and told your membership, or they're probably not even members, they're just idiots. Like this one guy I saw, this is 4 years into Obama's presidency, and what did I read? Some guy made this comment, just how many rights is Obama going to take away from us? 4 years in, pal, I think you're still there with your gun, you know, admiring yourself in the mirror. What are you talking about? Get freaking real, pull your head out of your ass, and if there's anybody out there that is not really engaging in this thing seriously, tell them to get lost. Might even take a look at them and their gun. I'll tell you, I'm serious, you know. I think people ought to be able to own guns. I don't think that mental patients should. There's my stand on guns. How's that? Is that okay?
Well, people are going to say, Phil, of course I agree with you, but I go much further. But people are going to say, well, then, how do you identify who the mental patients are?
I don't know. That's my answer. I don't know, other than to say that if it takes a database, and I don't give a damn, you know, the days of people making this argument, which is the following argument, you know, our freedoms are being chipped away at. Well, what are you talking about, your freedoms are being chipped? What do you mean by that, your freedoms are being chipped away? What we're trying to do is deal with the reality of life as opposed to your fantasy and what you think it was like back when everybody wore three-cornered hats and rode horses. You can quote Thomas Jefferson all you want, but if you don't know anything about Thomas Jefferson, like our good close personal friend Jesse the Body and Mental Midget Ventura, an idiot that was quoting, he thought, Thomas Jefferson, only to find out that Thomas Jefferson never said the very thing that Jesse the Mental Midget Ventura was saying. I mean, this is what we're talking about. This guy used to be a United States, he was the governor of a state. And this idiot was quoting Thomas Jefferson. He thought, we find out that the quote...
What quote was it?
It was some quote that was often used about, I'll misstate it, then people will jump all over me, but I can tell you it was something he never said. And I pointed that out to the governor, and he just, you know, him being an unbelievable megalomaniac, he hung the phone up rather than be wrong. So, you know, what did our founding fathers intend? I'll tell you what our founding fathers intended. I happen to know a little something about this because I've studied the question. Our founding fathers did indeed believe that future societies were going to be different. Future societies are going to be different. That doesn't take a genius to figure that out. They knew that. And while they never used the word elastic when it came to the Constitution, that's a word that was used by later jurists. The point is that what they wanted was a charter for this country that future generations and societies, American societies, could use. They didn't want something that was going to be outdated in short order. Jefferson made the argument, why write one at all? Who were we to tell the people of future generations how to think, what to think, and who to be? It's not our right. It's not. And he was essentially, you know, debated on the point with others saying, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to just, like, not have any kind of legal charter for this country and just let it be a sort of a continuing wave of anarchy until people get it settled generation after generation? What are you, nuts? Why don't you go back to your books and your bugs and go back to the mansion there and have Sally make you some tea there, Tom?
Well, gentlemen, I'm just trying to see. Yeah, that's great. You wrote a fantastic Declaration of Independence. You're a great guy. Bug off. And when I say bug off, I mean it as in those bugs you got stuck under pins. Well, I've never in my whole life.
Do you think that's how he talked?
I don't know.
I bet you did. He probably sounded just like that.
Thomas Jefferson, he from the South?
Yes, he was from the South. He's from Virginia.
Do you think they talk like that, Ben?
I don't know. Maybe. Point being that, so here we are now, we are 200 plus years after the fact, we got a constitution, and we've got a country, and we've got children that are being gunned down, and we got a Second Amendment. So how do we make the Second Amendment work and at the same time protect little infants, babies, from being butchered alive? Anybody got any ideas on that one? Because I got news for you. Even this guy here, Phil Hendry, even this guy here, a gun rights advocate, I won't sit still for that. I don't give a good sweet Jesus what the NRA thinks. I don't care. See, this event has gotten even guys like me pissed off, and it should have everybody pissed. Even the most staunch gun rights guy should have some answer. Don't give me this bullcrap about, well, yeah, it's really unfortunate. I think we need just tougher laws against these criminals. Let me tell you something, man. Short of torture, which in and of itself would be a violation of the constitutional rights of the individual, what are you going to do? You want to take the guy, any guy that does something like that, if you can catch him alive, and that's a big if, and torture him in front of everybody. Crucify him. Have him hanging from, you know, This is what'll happen to you if you. That's where you guys. That's the road you guys are going down here with this whole thing about, you know, we need to have tougher laws on the books. How much tougher do you want the laws to be?
You said you weren't going to talk at all about.
I'm talking about it. Been biting my tongue long enough.
Let me see.
Get out of. Put your hand on my tongue.
Said you were biting it.
Well, he don't get the look if I was. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Celebrity hacker gets 10 years prison for email hack. And a mother who they call the anarchist soccer mom. What's that all about? We'll find out in the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Woo!
Phil Hendry.
Yep, you bit it.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. And our good friend Dan Northcraft is back from the Lamb of God concert on Friday night. It is Monday. It's three whole days. Bud Dickman, what is your report?
Yeah, right now, Dan Northcraft, he can't even be understood.
Well, he's got a bad throat.
You asked me to say it.
Let him do it.
Well, what's... Go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
what's wrong?
Well, she's putting me down.
Oh, what a baby. His throat is blown out because he was screeching and screaming like he was a 14-year-old girl at a Beatles concert.
No, he wasn't. He was having a good time yelling and screaming at a heavy metal concert, okay? Or what have you. I don't know what it is. Do you know this band, Bud?
I've not yet now heard of them, but I will.
Yeah, I think I know that they're like thrash metal. And, they do a lot of it's a lot of devil.
Yeah, it's a lot of devil stuff.
Get out of here, devil stuff. In any event, Dan was, he went to the local armory there. And I gotta tell you something, there isn't anything more American than going to a rock show at an armory. That's where they started, and that's where they're going to end.
Well, what do you mean, end?
I'm just being, you know, I'm joking around, but fact is the earliest of everything started at, if we didn't have armories, we wouldn't have the professional basketball. You know that most of the NBA games at one time or another were played in armories, you know, someplace, some city, they didn't have an arena, they didn't have a place for the basketball teams to play, but they had an armory. As I mentioned last week, the Lakers started out in an armory in Minneapolis.
Where'd the Lakers play? They come out here.
Well, it's an interesting thing. If you look at any of the big cities, with the exception possibly of New York and Boston and some places that have had these large indoor sporting arenas or sports arenas, New York has always had Madison Square Garden. I mean, it seems like they've always had it. They've had Madison Square Garden for decades. Boston, the same with Boston Garden. And there have been from time to time these entities, these physical structures and presences in large cities. But Los Angeles is a good example. When the Lakers came out here, they played at a place called the Penn. You got to be an old timer to remember this. I remember going there as a little tiny kid with my dad for the car shows they used to have there. The Pan Pacific Auditorium.
Oh my God.
You remember it?
No.
I don't think.
Well, then what are you going, oh my God, for?
Well, it sounds interesting. Do you want to get Frank on the phone?
No, give Frank a rest tonight, okay?
What's that mean?
Let's just give him and his gender confusion. Now, I don't need to be listening to Frank with the he-she.
What does the he-she mean? Are you talking about...
Talking about tranny?
A what?
You talking about Frank... What's Frank got to do with tranny?
I didn't say anything about trannies.
Well, then please don't use the term he-she.
I didn't say anything about Frank and trannies. Do you understand?
Then why did you say the he-she?
Because Frank's always mixing up genders.
Well, it's called gender confusion, Phil. You don't have to say he, she, as if Frank is sitting there in a suit and a tie with $20 bills, just he's peeling them off for some beautiful woman that happens to have a penis. You know something? You're all going to laugh, but...
You going to the bathroom?
Yes, I am.
Margaret, I mean, what's the problem?
Well, I just think it's wrong of you to intimate that.
I didn't intimate a thing.
Well, you intimated that Frank is sitting there with a gin and tonic or a scotch on the rocks peeling off 20s for a gorgeous woman that happens to have testicles.
No, I did not. You said all of that.
You did, Margaret.
No one asked you.
Go to the bathroom. Some guy today on Facebook said I challenged Margaret not to go to the can once.
I guess he loses. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, you snooze, you lose is right. Sorry, sir. I think it was a very good... I think it was well-intentioned. Pan Pacific Auditorium was a place... No, I don't. Frank, if you're listening, you're a good guy. Let's just give you a rest tonight. That's all I'm saying. Frank, he doesn't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you have no about a he-she.
Don't use that term.
I heard that.
See? He's there in a suit, peeling off 20s with a scotch on the rocks, some gorgeous woman with testicles.
And you're laughing.
Yes, I'm laughing. Why wouldn't I laugh? Okay. So as I was saying, before I was so rudely interrupted, yeah, they played at the Pan Pacific Auditorium, man. It was literally an auditorium. And I believe in other cities, in Miami Convention Center, the Miami Auditorium. Miami, what the hell was that thing? What was the name of that place that, I don't remember, but Jackie Gleason on his show when I was a kid, he used to have that show, From Miami Beach, and they had the Miami something.
The Miami what?
Well, you guys wouldn't know, you're too young, but Margaret, do you remember?
Remember what?
Jackie Gleason, never mind.
You told me I shouldn't talk when I'm in the can.
Right. So anyway, these were the places that, you know, that existed before we had these major arenas. And so armories, that's one more in the list of, well, where can we go to have a, you know, some kind of a show? I mean, instead of like flower shows, car shows, you know, at armories.
Well, what's an armory anyway?
You know, that's a good question, but I guess it's a place that stored ammunition.
You tell me, man, they had places that were so big that you'd have an NBA game in it. Car show, rock and roll show, flower show, but its real purpose is to store ammo?
Yes. That's, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so car show, flower show, or ammo, come on down to the Medford Armory.
Exactly. That's probably what they should say there in Medford. Car show, ammo, no problem. We do them both.
Funny.
Anyway, so that was our good friend Dan, and he blew his throat out there at the show. It's nice to know, and I'll tell you one thing. It's nice to know that a man in the full maturity of his years, I'm joking around, Dan. No, but seriously, I went to the last show that I remember doing physical damage to myself. Now, I could be wrong. I've been to a lot of shows. I've been to a lot of rock shows. I've been to lots and lots of different kinds of shows. Particularly music, and particularly when I was younger. As I got older and I got more mature and I became wealthier and more, conscious of my social standing, I would not go to any more rock shows unless I was assured a good seat and cocaine. Now then.
Kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. So anyway, the point that I'm making is this. The last show I went to where I believe I did physical damage to myself was a ZZ Top show. And it was at the old forum in Inglewood. And the show was so loud that my ears rang for a good 4 days. They rang for such a long period of time, I thought that I was in big trouble.
I'm back.
Yes, I can see that. What are you carrying, toilet paper in your purse?
Bring a toilet paper in.
Bud said to bring some paper in from home because he didn't know if we had enough. What are you staring at? Boy, you looked at me as if I was the ghoul. You looked at me as if I was a ghoul in a Mario Bavo film.
Mario Bavo?
Yes. Vampire Planet?
I know him, I think. Anyway, went to the ZZ Top show, and my ears rang for so many days afterwards that I was frightened that I'd done some damage.
What happened?
Well, I mean, the music was so loud, you know, that I had that tinnitus, or whatever they call it, tinnitus, where...
What is that?
Your ears are just like you can hear... You ever had that?
I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
What about you guys?
I know that I've had... I don't think I ever heard a... Is that what it goes?
Yeah, no, it goes like this. If you have tinnitus, like you were saying, Mr. Henry?
Yes.
It goes, wee, something like, yeah, like he's singing.
I've never had that.
You've never had loud. In other words, you've heard loud things, right?
Oh yeah.
You've been to. I know you went and saw Avenged Sevenfold, right?
Yeah, I've seen Avenged Sevenfold probably about, well, seven times, I think.
Sevenfold time.
No.
Seven times you've seen Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, that's the limit.
What's that mean, that's the limit?
He thinks that if he sees them more than seven times, that there's... It's bad, you know.
Bad what?
Bad what?
It's just... It's against God.
It's against God if you go and see Avenged Sevenfold more than seven times.
Yeah, on account of what the Bible says.
Why'd you go and see them once?
Because I like their music.
Boy, there's something wrong with you, man.
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about?
There's got to be something really wrong with you.
Yeah, I try to tell him it doesn't make any difference.
I'm just saying.
You ain't saying nothing. You're weird, man. Bud, promise me that you will never pick up a shotgun and try to blow your head off to be with Kurt Cobain or anything like that. Because knowing you, you'd probably miss and wind up like that one guy that had the face pinched in.
That guy? You mean Arseface?
Get out of here with Arseface. I only went to see them seven times because any time more than that, it would be against God?
It would be, yeah, no, it would be, God would not like it.
You must be out of your mind. I'm going to send you to a psychiatrist. I'm telling you right now, on my dime, I'm sending you to a head shrinker.
Why? There's nothing wrong with me.
Don't cry. There's some kind of thing going on with you, man. Was your mother religious?
Yeah, I think that's it.
My mom, yeah, we went to church.
Yeah, you went to church. Okay, but I'm wondering, was it a pathological thing? You know?
I don't know what that means.
I think you're onto something. I think, Bud, did your mother ever flay you on, and I hate... Did you ever have to drop your pants?
Yeah.
Right there.
When I went to the bathroom.
Right there?
I didn't mean that. I mean, were you ever flayed openly on the buttock? Or on both? Which would be the buttocks?
I don't know.
Never mind, okay?
I'm trying to find out whether his mother's nuts.
I love my mother, but yeah, she's nuts.
Bud, we're getting into some weird stuff. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I want you to go in and get evaluated by my man down here in Century City.
Not that guy. He puts electrodes on your head.
He puts electrodes on your head. No, he doesn't. All right, anyway, folks, we started out talking about armories, and now I got Bud worried about electroshock. All right. Beautiful thing. So the end of the story is this. This is all I want to say, and then I'm going to just conclude it. We started out, actually, because Dan went to the armory. I think we've wrapped this up, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so. You still want to do that?
I don't want to talk about the poor little babies. I said what I want to say. I'm not going to turn this radio show into, you know, and I'll tell you something else. I don't want to keep bagging on the radio industry. You know, it's been my living for 40 years. I see it making mistakes. I see it going right straight down the toilet. What, do you want me to not say something? Where do you think I was today? I was over at LEG. I was over at Molotov. I was with my podcasting partners. Why? Because those guys are out doing business. They're out doing business. Think I'm hanging around with radio guys? Everybody that I know in radio, the guys that have radio shows, are doing exactly what I'm doing. They're out and they're talking to guys that can make them some money. So, and I say all of that to say the following thing. We had something happen this past week and last week that was so unacceptable that even pro-gun rights advocates like Phil Hendry here, I'm not saying ban guns. I'm not saying that. And even the people that are in favor of gun control are not saying ban guns. I just had a conversation today with one of, you could say, she's an extremely prominent Hollywood liberal. And even she...
Talk about...
Don't say anybody's name or I'll clock you. Because I'm going to roll that out when we get ready to roll out the Bobby Dooley podcast. But the point that I'm trying to make here is... Even she said, I know that we're not going to ban guns. I'm not even asking to ban guns. But we've got to have some answers here on how we can protect. We're talking about protecting little babies, for God's sake. Now, there's got to be a way. And if the NRA is, quote-unquote, mum on the issue, I don't think you're showing responsibility. I don't think you're showing any citizenship. I don't think you're showing anything other than what a lot of people see you as being, this sort of hermetically sealed, contained, enfortressed entity that, as long as your gun rights are cool, you don't give a damn what happens to the rest of the country. And that you, I know that's not who you are. I know that's not who your membership is. I know that's not what you guys represent. But that's the picture that you're giving people. So start coming up with some answers. I'll try to come up with some answers. But one place I ain't going to do it is on this radio show. And talk radio makes me absolutely want to vomit through both nostrils and maybe one ear.
That'd be a trick.
Yes, it would. When I listen to them going on and on and on about this, because it's been a gun control debate for 3 days, and you're making me sick to my stomach. So please, would you stop? Thank you.
And I'm sure they'll listen to you.
Of course. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Let's talk about, we've already talked about Dan. We've talked about Avenged Sevenfold and vomit coming out of my ear. How about where was that story, man? Where's the story on we'll get it. The soccer mom, China is cracking down on a doomsday group. I can't wait for this one. We'll talk about that too. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
No, I'm not kidding. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I was talking to Dan about music because, you know, we were continuing the discussion. And we were talking about venues, you know, because he'd been to the Armory. I said, you know, there are some venues. And I said, Dan, do you remember the old festival seating? And festival seating was when there was grass and you could just go out and you could, you know, whatever. You could sit on the grassy hillside and you could, you know, listen to the show. And he was talking about some venues like the Meadows and in Austin. And we got to talking about Austin 6th Street. I was in Austin, Texas with Westwood One when Foreigner was touring there in the 80s. And they were touring the country, but there were two shows that Westwood One was going to... There was one show they were going to record for their a concert series they did called Superstars, and they're going to do the Dallas show. But as a warm-up, as a way of making sure that we had, you know, the equipment right and everything, they did Austin, Texas. And there I was in the hotel in Austin with the band, and I told a joke.
No, not the golf course joke.
I told a really dirty joke, and the band just looked at me like, wow, you know, and so I left, and I realized that my humor does not sit well with Foreigner.
Yeah, well, that humor not going to sit well with anybody.
I know. I mean, that's what you're saying, but to make myself feel less of a dork.
So where did you go? So the band kicked you out of where?
Well, they didn't kick me out. I just left. But anyway, I just split. Then I went down to 6th Street and got hammered. So that's my memory of Austin, Texas.
Well, if it hadn't been for Foreigner throwing you out of that hotel.
Right. I never would have gone to 6th Street. You're absolutely right. But then we went to Dallas, and that was fun because they had a Baptist convention in the hotel that we stayed in. It was near Reunion Arena, which is where this concert was being held. It was at the Hyatt Reunion was the name of the hotel. It's right next to the Reunion Arena in Dallas. I don't know whether that's still there or not. Probably not.
Well, if it was the 80s, they've probably torn it down.
Yeah, they bulldozed down all those dumps.
All those dumps? I mean...
Well, I meant old places, you know. Yeah, they bulldozed the old dumps down, except in L.A. where they still got a sports arena.
The L.A. sports arena is still around? I thought they bulldozed that place, too. Anyway, make a long story short, I went to the... So there we are at the Dallas Reunion Hyatt Hotel, and in the hotel, there are two groups of people. There are two groups of people, two main groups of people are staying in the hotel on this particular weekend. One is the Southern Baptist Convention, and the other is the Foreigner road crew and production people. And one night, they all meet in the bar in the hotel. Now, how do I know? Because I was there. I'm not saying that Baptists drink heavily. I don't know that there is a prohibition against drinking, but there were some folks there in the bar, and they were playing at the piano. They were playing some spirituals.
Was this the one where they were playing Can We Gather at the River?
Yes, the lady was there, and Can We Gather at the River? She was playing this at the piano, you know.
Were they drunk?
They didn't seem roaring drunk. No, they were having a beer, whatever the hell you have. I don't know. And
what about the foreigner people? They must have been... Were they doing drugs? Or were they doing narcotics? I want some information, Phil. You're very circumspect.
Can you stop with that?
Don't give me that, Phil. You're with a rock band. A rock band.
No, there wasn't any narcotics.
Well, I find that...
That's really nice, Margaret. If I ever do get to talk to Foreigner again, which I doubt, I'll let him know what you said.
Oh, don't be a baby. This is a major rock group, and they're British, and that's heroin.
Of course.
Phil, I know a little.
All right, now I'm up against the end of the hour.
Not my fault.
We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show, with more on whether there was heroin at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh, yeah, that's not what you said.
I mean, you know what I mean. We'll be right back.
Can we gather at the river? Do you want me to? I can sing that later on.
Yes.
Phil Henry.